Hi, my name is Patricia Cruz, and I am an owner of Angels Dead for You and founder of Senior Link. It's a nonprofit society located in Richmond. My story goes like this. I came to Canada due to the fact that I was flying away from civil war. My family and myself, I was studying medicine, and my family was extremely worried about me because I was going to university. And I decided to get married and get a baby on the way. And while I was pregnant and I was assisting university medicine, I went into difficult times. Two times I almost lost my life, almost. I didn't lose it, but I wouldn't be here. But I almost lost my life. And so what happened was, I decided to come to Canada. My baby was already 7 months old. So I arrived in Canada in 1981. And when I arrived in Canada, my intention was to continue studying medicine. But another baby came, and so I didn't have enough time to go to university and finish my courses. So I decided to work during the time that my kids were growing. So I moved to North Vancouver, and I work as assistant for the YMCA. And a few months later, after 2 years at the YMCA, I decided to move on to work for seniors, because I love seniors. I grew up with my grandmother and my great-grandmother as well. My great-grandmother was Mayan. I have all her features. My father's side is very Mayan, very native. And I came from a family that is, a mix of Spanish conquerors and Mayans. So it was a very interesting life to live in and learn about the native culture. So when I came to Canada, my main goal was to raise my family and bring my kids to a beautiful country where I will be able to be free and not be in danger. I really hated my country at that moment. I was so upset about what was happening. I didn't want to go back ever. And I raised my children in North Vancouver. And one day I decided that it was better for them to move to a Spanish country, because I wanted them to learn Spanish, and because they were teenagers and they were really little monsters. So I didn't want to continue raising these little monsters in a very wealthy society. They were actually living and playing and relating to little kids in North Vancouver. So I decided to move to Chile and come back. So I did that. I went to Chile, my kids learned to speak Spanish, but I made the biggest mistake of my life. I sold my place, I sold my furniture, I sold everything I own, and I moved to Chile, thinking I was gonna be there for a few years. But the first year, I managed to lose all my money. How that happened, well, it's a long story. To make it short, I ended up homeless. When I came back to Canada in 1998. I left in 1997 and I came back in 1998. And while I was looking for a job, I realized that there were no more full-time jobs. There were only part-time jobs. And I happened to have a wonderful opportunity. They called me from the West Side, a community center closer to UBC. And I was extremely excited, because that was the first time after 3 months being homeless, living with my friend who didn't want me there anymore. She kept saying, when are you leaving? Please find a place. Of course, how can I, find a place with two teenagers? And my kids were really very sad, and they were homeless. They didn't have a place to live. And I was living with this friend, and I had a small hallway with two pieces of mattresses. But I would say pieces because they were not really mattresses. And my son and my daughter were sleeping on the floor, and I was sleeping on a sofa, half a sofa. And I was desperately looking for a job, and finally I get this opportunity. So I went to the interview, and while I was getting the interview, I could see that the five members, they were the board members, they were extremely excited about my resume and my experience. And so I was so happy that I finally, after 3 months, I found a full-time job. I was going to be the recreation coordinator, and I was going to take care of all the new members, and I was going to build programs and projects for the community center. So it was a very exciting job. So what happened was, at the end of the 1 hour interview, I was extremely excited that I finally found this job. And they asked me to wait outside so they could get the paperwork done for me, and I was going to be able to start the following Monday. It was a Thursday. And so I couldn't believe that finally I found this beautiful job, and they were going to make me sign the paperwork, and I was going to start on Monday. So I was just getting my head off, thinking about what I was going to wear, what am I going to do, all the projects are going to start, and talking to the people that were working there. But anyway, after the interview, they asked me to wait, and I waited for 45 minutes, and I couldn't believe that. I don't know what was happening, because it was a long wait. And after 45 minutes, the secretary comes in, and she says to me, come to the small room, I need to speak to you. I felt that something was wrong. So I came to the small little room, and she gave me the news. She said, we love your resume, your experience, your personality. We think that you are excellent for this job. However, we have 2 board members who don't want to hire you. And we debated for 45 minutes, and we came to the decision not to hire you. When she said that, I only had $17 in my pocket. I was homeless, and I had 2 teenagers. At that moment, I remember thinking, I felt that the whole world crashed. I felt devastated. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have any other lead to find another job, and I didn't have any friends that who could help me. And it was very hard for me. So I remember I couldn't get up from the chair. My knees were weak, and I couldn't get up. And I remember the lady said to me, sit down and stay here for a few minutes. I know, because I was crying and I couldn't help it. I was very devastated because I really didn't have any other place to go. So when I came out of that room, I was hopeless. I have no hope. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, with my children, with my job life. I didn't have any other place to go. And I needed to find a place to live, and I needed to find a job ASAP. So I left, and I don't know if you know the West Vancouver Community Center. It's all the way, they have a beautiful park, and there is a bus stop right there. So I went out and I started crying, and I said very clearly, I said to God, I said, God, give me a job. I can use my talents. I can use my skills. Please give me a job. I've been looking for 3 months and I haven't been able to find one. Please, please, please help me. And I walked to the bus stop, and at the bus stop, I had to pull myself together because I had to get the bus back to the house. And the bus came and went, and I didn't want to go back home. I didn't know what I was going to say to my children, didn't know what to do. And so I decided to stay there for a little while because I didn't know what to do, what else to go. And all of a sudden, a young woman came to me, and she said to me, excuse me, are you the lady looking for the seniors coordinator job? And I said, yeah, I am. I am the one. And I looked at her and she said, I am the one who's leaving the job. And I said to her, why are you leaving the job? Such a good job. It was $2,000 at that time. It probably is like a $5,000 job right now. So I asked her why, and she said, well, because, she said, my clients don't need entertainment anymore. They need home care. So when she said they need home care, I knew about home care. I had many seniors that were actually receiving home care, and I was very familiar with what it was, but I didn't know exactly what exactly she was going to do. So I asked her, so tell me a little bit more about what you're going to do. The only thing I remember very clearly is that when she was talking to me, she had the most beautiful, crystal clear honey eyes. She had curly hair, and she had a binder on her hand, and she had a beautiful smile. She looked like an angel. And I remember asking her about this job that she was going to start. And when she was talking to me and telling me what she was going to do, everything was so clear, crystal clear. Like, I started thinking that that was the answer to my prayer. And I closed my eyes thinking about what she was saying. And when I actually opened my eyes, she was gone. I think she took the bus. Because I remember listening to the whoa, and you know, but I didn't pay attention. I was just digesting what she was saying. And so she was gone, and I fell in my spirit, not in my brain, in my spirit. I felt, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I remember thinking, okay, this is exactly what I was studying for. I was actually studying medicine, and when I came to Canada and I couldn't pursue my my doctor's degree, I decided to go into fundraising, marketing, administration. And so I had all the skills to be able to run a business. And I didn't know my potential, but God knew my potential. And he knew better than me that this was the best place to be. And I remember that I took the bus home, and while I was actually on the bus, have you ever done a business plan? I never done a business plan really, but I managed to, in my own head, to have the whole plan designed. It was very, very strange because I have been in different areas of seniors care. I've been more in the recreational organizing. I did an outreach for seniors, the Spanish outreach at the South Granville Senior Center. I was the one who made it happen for them, and they are doing wonderful right now. And so I had all these skills, but I wasn't really aware. I just wanted to have a 9-to-5 job. I wasn't looking for a business. But when I arrived home, I knew that I had to do a business plan. So I woke up, as always, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I wrote my business plan. And I went to the EI office at 8 a.m. And I went in, and I talked to one of the ladies, and I said, listen, I would love to study a self-employment program. I know you have one. And she said, you are late. You are 2 weeks late. I said, please help me. I really need to get into the program. And because I was the first person arriving, she took the time and she went in and she phoned all the schools to see if somebody would take me. And I was so fortunate that one of the schools that was not too far from the EI office was still taking students. So I was the last one, I guess. And so she said to me, you need to go today, right now. You need to be there in 20 minutes because the principal is going to leave and you need to be there. I remember thinking, she said, take a taxi. You'll be okay. I mean, you'll be on time. To be honest, it's about 20 blocks. And I remember thinking, I only have $17. If I spend the $17 on a taxi, I will have no food for my children. So I decided to run to the school. Even an athlete can try this morning or whenever to go to this place in such a short time. And I remember arriving in 20 minutes. And I remember thinking, how did I manage to get here? But anyway, I was, you know, out of breath and everything else, but the lady saw me and she took my business plan. The first thing she said, please give me your business plan. If I wouldn't have taken the time that morning to make the plan, I wouldn't have been able to get in. So I gave her my two pieces of business plan, my two pages, because I had two pages back and forth, four pages. And she took the time, she took about 10 minutes on the business plan. And I was just worried because she was just looking at the business plan and not saying anything. And then finally she looked at my eyes and she took the two pieces of paper and she said to me, and I will never forget it. She said to me, Patricia Cruz, you are going to be very successful. And I'm thinking, oh my God. This is amazing. This is so wonderful. And so she said, but you need to catch up. You missed 2 weeks. So you lost all those projects. So you need to catch up and I'll see you in April 1999. So in April 1999, I graduated from the self-employment program and I was able to start my business. I hired 6 wonderful workers that helped me to grow the business. So I had a beautiful team and I started the Angels There For You company. And the next year, when I was going out and about that year in 1999, I realized that most of my clients had a contact person, an emergency contact, but there was about 30% that didn't have any contact. Any emergency contact. They had maybe a neighbor or maybe a doctor, but didn't have any family. So I decided to start Senior Link. Senior Link is a nonprofit society dedicated to reach isolated seniors. And the seniors are outreach in different ways. And one of the things that we have found is that information is so valuable. If they have information, they might be able to make the right decisions to improve their health, improve their finances, or improve their life in overall, you know, in general. And I remember that when I started Senior Link, I developed a newsletter that was going out and about to all the community centers. And the city of Richmond came and said, everybody's talking about this newsletter. And they asked me, is this coming from the community center? And I said, no, it's coming from Angels There For You. So there was a little bit of jealousy. So they said, no, don't place anything about community centers. Just stay to the same things that you do. And I said, that's fine. And so we actually were able to develop this newsletter every 3 months. And the seniors loved it. And it was called the Independent Senior Links newsletter at that time. Now it's only called Senior Link Newsletter. But we were actually trying to find a way to reach seniors who do not come to the community centers. People who actually, for several reasons, maybe health reasons, or maybe they are not social people, they don't come to the community center. So they get isolated, more isolated. So Senior Link has been in the community for 25 years, and Angels There For You has been in the community for 26 years. And what is the future of Senior Link? I see it as a way to improve the lives of those seniors who don't actually care for community centers. And I see it as a tool for the young people to connect with the old generation. And I see Angels. Angels There For You has been successful because I teach all the workers to understand the emotional, the physical, intellectual needs, and spiritual needs of the seniors. You're young, you're pretty young, and you do not know all those changes that we go through. And when we get older, there are so many things that you might not understand. Why seniors act this way or that way. So what I have done is I managed to get a beautiful training that is called the holistic training. And I teach all the workers how our body changes when we're getting older, and how our emotions change, and how also our spiritual life change. So that it takes me about 4.5 hours to show you how that happens. And now when they understand how they feel, they are able to provide the care that the seniors need. And there's nothing, see, with this fast technology, this fast-paced life that we live in, we forget many things, but there is something essential in a human being. If you don't feel appreciated, if you don't feel valued, if you don't feel admired, useful, you lose your identity. And then you start thinking, I am not useful, I am a burden, I don't have anything to contribute to society or to my family. And then you start dying inside. And so that's the place where I feel my workers are doing a great job, because they come to see these clients and they understand. There is nothing better that somebody says to you, I understand you. Because there are so many things around the world and you always say, they don't get me. They don't understand me. My husband doesn't get me. My daughter doesn't get me. What's going on? I mean, nobody gets me, you know? So when you actually find someone who understands you, it makes a huge difference in your life. So I teach the workers to be able to understand how they feel and all the emotional turmoil that seniors can go through when you find that you are dying, that you are getting closer to leave, and that you are not able to do too much anymore for anyone. When they actually are feeling that way, my workers are trained to provide that feeling of, I am valued, I am admired, I am appreciated. So when they feel that way, then my clients thrive beyond expectation. I have many seniors who were still, they are 101. Last year I had 107 and 109. And so, and we helped them for about, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, 14 years. I think the longest is 14 years. We were with this client for 14 years. But one of the clients that I remember, and I have to mention it, the wind, I have to mention, was Mary. Mary was supposed to die in 3 months. All the doctors say she doesn't have any more than 3 months. So daughter was so upset and so sad and came to the office and crying, and she said, I really need help. My mom doesn't want to stay in the hospital. She wants to go home, and she doesn't want to die at home. So I said, so what would you like me to help you with? She said, well, can you bring her home and take care of her until she goes to heaven? And I said, of course, we will do that. So I hired two wonderful workers, and we practiced all the holistic approach with Mary. She was our guinea pig. She was getting everything, the massages, the beautiful meals, the sun, you know, or going out and getting some sunlight every day. And she was actually also feeling like a million bucks every day. Beautiful makeup, beautiful clothing. She looked like a beautiful star. And so she actually managed to survive 3 more years. And when I went to the hospital to see her after the 3 years, she was actually already dying. She had cancer. So we knew that she was going to die, but we didn't know when. So we came to the hospital. And I will never forget what happened. And she said to me, Patricia, I really thank you for everything you have done, but I want to let you know that I know why God extended my life. And I said, oh, why God extended your life, Mary? She said, because Rosita needed me. It was one of the workers who was working for her. She said, she needed me so much that he extended my life. So at that moment, I knew, I knew that the power of feeling needed, it was so important, so important. And Mary lasted 3 more years. And she lasted 3 more years because we made her feel needed. And that was an amazing thing that I discovered. And I said at that moment, that is the reason why we live, because we feel needed. The moment we feel that no one needs us, that nobody cares for us, we die. Thank you.